This chazar is zeichen nishal baruches l'shalagam revam yehudim v'sechdes yuma daf ches. The Gemara continues this conversation that we learned yesterday of Shimon, who says that the tzitz provides for acceptance even while it's not being worn. How will he explain the pasuk of al meitzach menasa? He'll say it's teaching that the proper placement of the tzitz is on the forehead. Rabbi Yehuda learns this halacha from another pasuk that says al metzchoy. The Gemara says that Shimon actually learns the proper placement from the same pasuk as Rabbi Yehuda. And rather, the pasuk of al meitzach menasa teaches that the tzitz only provides acceptance when it's fit to be worn, not if it's broken. Rabbi Yehuda learns from this from the fact that the pasuk could have said metzach, and it says instead says metzchoy. The Gemara now says it may be that the machlekes whether tuma is hutra betzibur or it's only the chuyahi betzibur, maybe actually machlekes among tanoim and a brisa. The brisa says, or Meir says, the kohen gadol for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, and the kohen gadol was to burn the paraduma for the 7 days before doing so, would each be sprinkled upon on all 7 days from all the paradumas that were then in existence. Rabbi Yossi says they were only sprinkled on the third and the seventh days. Rabbi Chinin Eskanek Ahanim says the kohen by the paraduma was sprinkled on for 7 days, and the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur was only sprinkled on for days 3 and 7. Now, it may be that Rameir and Rabbi Yossi argue in the earlier Machlokes. Rameir says that Tumah is only the Chuyahi Betzibur. Therefore, we have to sprinkle on all 7 days to do whatever we can to remove any Tumah, since we don't know if and when the Kohen Gadol may have become Tumah. Rabbi Yossi says Tumah is completely mutter, so we only have to sprinkle on days 3 and 7, since it's only done as a Chumrah, since Tumah is truly and completely mutter, so we just have to do it on 3 and 7, we don't have to do more than that. Maybe that's machlekes. So Zakht Gemara, if Rabbi Yossi holds that Tumah is totally hutra betzibur, why would there be a need to sprinkle at all? Gemara says, it must be that all hold that Tumah is only dechuyahi betzibur. And the machlekes is whether it's a mitzvah for someone to go to the mikveh and thereby remove Tumah at the earliest possible time. Rabbi Meir says that it is, so we have to sprinkle every day for the chance that it's actually his required day to be sprinkled based on when he became Tumah, thus allowing for the earliest possible removal of the Tumah. Rabbi Yossi says it's not a mitzvah, and therefore we can simply sprinkle on days 3 and 7 and he'll go to the mikveh after that. For the Ekta Gemara, we find a Brisa that's explained as showing that Rabbi Yossi holds that it is a mitzvah to go to the mikveh as early as possible to remove the tumah at the earliest possible time. Mar says, Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi agree that going to the mikveh at the earliest possible time is a mitzvah. The machlokes is whether we compare tevilah to sprinkling of the paraduma and say that there's also a mitzvah to sprinkle at the earliest possible time. Rabbi Yossi says there is such a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi says there's no such mitzvah. What does Rabbi Chanina hold? If he makes the comparison that both Gehanim should need to be sprinkled all 7 days. If he doesn't make the comparison, then neither Kohen should have to be sprinkled all 7 days. And furthermore, in truth, he doesn't make the comparison. However, he says that there was a Chumr Derabbanon that was added to the Kohen who would burn the Paraduma, which requires that he get sprinkled on all 7 days. The Gemara says, the Braisa says, the only difference between the Kohen who's burning the Paraduma and the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is that the Kohen who's burning the Parah is separated for purposes of Tahara, and therefore we don't allow anyone to touch him during the separation, and the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur is separated for purposes of Kedusha, and therefore we do allow people to touch him. This Braisa must follow either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Chanina, there's also the difference of how many times he gets sprinkled, and since this Braisa doesn't mention it, the Braisa can't follow Rabbi Chanina. Skana Kehanim. Where it says Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, asked, it's understandable why he has to be sprinkled on the first of the why he has to be sprinkled on for the first 3 days, because each of those days may be the third day since it became Tomei, which would have taken place before his separation. It's also understandable why he has to be sprinkled on days 5, 6, and 7, because those days may be day 7 after his having become Tomei. However, why does he have to be sprinkled on day 4? And for the Gemara, we know that sprinkling may not be done on Shabbos. It's also the Rabbanon. So when the Braisa says all 7 days, it can't actually mean all 7 days. So similarly, although it says all 7 days, there actually is no sprinkling on day 4, because there would be no purpose for day 4. It can't be day 3 since after his tumah, and it can't be day 7 after his tumah, and therefore we would not sprinkle on day 4 either. Rava says, for this reason, we begin the separation of a Parah Aduma on a Wednesday, so that day 4, which anyway has no sprinkling, should fall on Shabbos on one day which sprinkling anyway can't be done. That is only one day with no sprinkling. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, obviously we don't have control over that. That's based on the calendar. So then, however it falls out, it will fall out. The Mishnah had said that the Kohen Gadol is separated to Lilishkas Parhedron V'chulu. In a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda explains that originally the chamber was called the Balvote chamber, which means the chamber of the aristocrats, meaning referring to the Kohen Gadol. However, when during the second Beis HaMikdash the king would appoint the Kohen Gadol based on his receiving money to do so, the name was changed to the Parhedron, Lishkas Parhedron, which means the chamber of the appointees, meaning it's a derogatory term, like the tax collectors, a low-level appointee, and that's where they changed the name to. Mark says, and Mishnah says, bakers who buy grain from an Am Haaretz, who the Rabbanon don't trust to have given Meiser, must only separate Trumas Meiser and Challah from this grain. Shaykh the Gemara, they don't have to give regular truma because the Am Haaretz is trusted to give regular truma. They don't have to give Ma'aser Rishon or Ma'aser Oni because these don't have Kedusha, but they have to be, but they must simply be given to a Levi and the poor person. So if the Levi and the poor person want their share, the onus is on them. They have to prove that it wasn't given. However, why do they have to separate Ma'aser Sheni? Why don't they separate Ma'aser Sheni and eat it in Yerushalayim? So Ula explains that the appointed parhedrin, meaning the tax collectors or the price setters, would set very low allowable prices for bread, leaving very little room for profit. Therefore, the Rabbanon did not require the bakers to give Ma'aser Sheni from the grain, because giving any truma or mice from this grain is only the Rabbanon to begin with, because they're right, so we assume that the Namorites gave what was required to give. So therefore, the Rabbanon were not masakin that they have to give it over here, because they were working on very low margins altogether. And again, we see the use of this word parhedrin.